Hello, you guys, and welcome back to the Beauty with Lane podcast, and welcome to the first episode of 2022. Okay, so you want to know what's absolutely crazy right now? I am literally holding my daughter, okay? Let's just let that sink in for a minute. I am holding my 3-month-old daughter, Ivy Dakota, in my wrap, in my carrier. I'm looking out my window. It's snowy outside. I see our cat. We have deer that run through our forest every single day that we named Bill and Betty. I mean, 2022 is off to a good start. Well, in reality, we had a really rough start to 2022, which I will get into in the next episode. But I just wanted to share with you guys my birth story. The audio that you're going to hear is actually a YouTube video from my channel. I filmed 2 weeks after I gave birth to our daughter. I really wanted this story to live on the podcast as well, but I didn't want to film it twice. So this was fresh, straight after birth. This episode is really long and full of a lot of details, but as much as this video is for you, it's actually a lot for me because I already found that I forgot a lot of the little details regarding my birth story, and I'm so happy that I filmed and recorded every single detail and every feeling that I felt from giving birth to my daughter, because it was one of the greatest life experiences that I've had to date, and I'm just really happy that I have every single detail captured. So, although it is about 40 minutes long, that's okay. You don't have to listen to all of it, but for me, it was really important that I captured every detail so I don't forget anything. And if you are about to give birth, then I highly recommend that you also film your birth story, even if you don't post it or you don't want to share it with anyone. It's super special to have everything recorded straight after you give birth because you will forget a lot that happened. So the sooner you can film, the better, because you want to remember these things. You want to share them with your children and your grandchildren. So yeah, that's why this is so long. I could have shortened it. I could have made it 10 minutes long, but I just truly didn't want to because I just wanted every single special detail in there down to the smallest minute details. But I just wanted to share with you guys my amazing birth story, and it actually ended up in a C-section. Although I wanted and opted for a natural birth, I ended up having a kind of emergency C-section, which you'll get all of the details. But if you are a mama about to have a C-section, don't worry. It's actually an amazing, life-changing experience, and it's not that bad. I mean, you are a strong woman, and you can get through it. So, with that being said, welcome to my birth story, and let's just jump into it. I remember literally telling myself, okay, I'm getting a C-section either way. I can either cry about it and be really upset and ruin my birth experience, or I can be really positive about it and tell myself that everything's gonna be okay. So how am I going to perceive this situation in a way that I'll appreciate my birth experience afterwards? Hello, you guys, and welcome back, or welcome to my channel. I'm Helena, and I am officially a mommy. I'm currently talking a little bit quieter because our daughter is sleeping. She is being taken care of by her daddy right now, so I could come up here and film this. And I just wanted to say, if you are preparing to go into birth and you might be expecting to have a C-section, or you're worried that you may have a C-section, I just want you to know that I was in that boat exactly like 2.5 weeks ago. I know exactly what you're going through, the fears, the unknown, but I wanted to share my story with you so that I could give you a sense of peace, because it actually isn't as bad as you may think that it is. So I just wanted to go ahead and preface that and say you are going to do great and it's gonna be okay. So as I said, I'm officially a mommy. Our daughter is officially 18 days old, or like 2.5 weeks old. And I wanted to share my story with you guys to tell you how my birth experience was, and to also shed a little bit of light on C-sections, because when I found out that I was going to have like an unplanned, unexpected, emergency type C-section, when I went to look for information on YouTube from other women, I didn't really find that much. So I figured, why not share my story, because it might help you and am like, calm you and give you some peace. So let's start from the beginning. So I found out that I was pregnant back in February. If you want to listen to my finding out that I'm pregnant story, I'll be linking it right here. We had an unexpected and beloved pregnancy, and everything went as planned, as it should. My pregnancy was very healthy until I was about 7 months pregnant, I would say. So everything was super smooth. I felt great. Nothing was wrong. Baby was growing. She actually was always like a little bit bigger than she needed to be, just because Andre and I are both like pretty large humans. So our daughter was expectedly also quite large. But when I was 34 weeks pregnant, I went in for a routine ultrasound scan. The doctor was scanning. She was checking on our daughter, and she measured great. She was doing well, but then she started looking at my placenta and the veins that connect the placenta and umbilical cord and like give blood to the baby, and found out that I have something called placental insufficiency. So placental insufficiency is where your placenta is just not delivering as much nutrients, oxygen, and blood to the baby anymore, and it starts to fail. In my case, at 34 weeks, it wasn't very bad, but it definitely was something to keep our eye on. So I started going in for weekly scans, and each week it was getting worse. So every time she would scan my placenta, we would see little black dots all over it, and that just means that that part of the placenta was no longer functioning, and it just wasn't looking like a healthy placenta anymore. So I got put on a treatment called Aspenter, and I took that every single day. I think it's some sort of blood thinner that just helps the blood supply be a little bit greater for the baby so that she could get the oxygen and the nutrients that she needed. So every week she was scanning our daughter and everything was looking okay. It wasn't like the best, but it also wasn't a case to where I needed to be induced, and Ivy was growing and she was right on track and on schedule. You know, she was measuring normally. So there are two private clinics that I know about in our county where you can deliver your babies privately, and in one of the clinics, the husband can participate in the birth with you. Now, I thought that I was going to have a natural birth, considering that my pregnancy throughout the entire time seemed super normal, super healthy, and originally I was at a hospital called Pelican, which is my favorite hospital in all of Oradea. It's amazing. And there's another clinic in our town that's pretty great. It's a private clinic, and you can deliver your babies there as well. Now, Pelican was always my first choice, but during these times, during the pandemic, your husband is not allowed to participate in the birth with you. Well, I had heard from some of my friends who had given birth a few weeks before me that their husbands were able to participate at this other clinic. So I asked our family doctor who she would recommend from this clinic. I signed up with her because in my mind, okay, I had a super normal pregnancy. This was before 34 weeks pregnant. This was around like when I was 6 months pregnant. I told Andre, you know, this is a great clinic. You can still give birth naturally. You can come with me because I really don't think that I can give birth by myself. I just am madly in love with my husband, and he's my rock and my support. And I just didn't think that I would be able to get through birth by myself. Now, fast forward, I find out that I have placental insufficiency, and then I start to swell. Every day, I just started to swell a little bit more, and then I think in the middle of September, I noticed that my wedding ring, which was a size smaller than my engagement ring, was cutting off circulation to my finger, and it was very uncomfortable. So I took off that ring, and I noticed that like my face started swelling, and one day I even looked in the mirror and I told Andre, I was like, do I look different? Because I genuinely don't recognize myself. And I wasn't sure if I was like dissociating or having some sort of breakdown. But I just remember looking in the mirror and thinking like, I don't look like myself anymore. I'm super swollen. And as the weeks went by, I was getting more and more swollen, and it wasn't until I was like 37 weeks pregnant that I really noticed like, okay, I'm extremely swollen and I'm in pain. So Andre and I went for a walk, and I just remember the bottom of my heels were hurting so bad, and I was just like, hey, we need to go home and I need to rest because my feet are killing me, which wasn't normal in my pregnancy, because before I could walk around for hours and go hiking
hiking. Like, I literally could do anything that I was doing, like, pre-pregnancy, and I felt great. So this was a little bit alarming for me. So after I found out that I had placental insufficiency, my doctor said, okay, keep an eye on your blood pressure. But she didn't say, like, what numbers to look for. So it was October 17th. It was a Sunday afternoon, and we were having lunch with my family. And I just remember my heart was beating really hard, and I got a really bad headache. And I told my mom, I was like, I'm not feeling very good. And she was like, okay, let's take your blood pressure and see what it is. And up until now, my blood pressure had been normal. I didn't have any, like, fluctuations or anything. And then as I took my blood pressure, it was 149/99, which was super alarming. I just did, like, a quick Google search, and that's, like, the highest you can have when you have a healthy pregnancy. So my mom said to me and Andre, you guys should go and get an assessment, go to the emergency room and just see what they say. As soon as I saw my blood pressure and I realized that it was, like, extremely high, I tried contacting my doctor. She didn't answer. I tried texting twice. I called twice. No answer. So pretty much rushed to the emergency room. And as soon as I got there, my blood pressure had dropped a little bit. I think once I saw how high my blood pressure was, I actually got pretty stressed, which made it even worse. And then I just applied some breathing techniques after he tried to calm me down in the car.
Gonna be 38 weeks tomorrow, and I have placental insufficiency. And Andre and I are on our way to the hospital because my blood pressure was 139/99. It was very high, or 143, something like that. So we're going to the doctor to check it out. We have our hospital bag ready just in case. I'm feeling stressed and peaceful at the same time. Just want to go see why my blood pressure's so high. But I got everything packed this morning. I've been nesting like crazy. It might all just be signs leading up to this. Who knows? Anyway, on the way to the hospital with my swollen feet.
We were talking, we were trying to relax, he was trying to make me laugh, and I just, you know, I had my cry, I let it all out, and then we got to the emergency room, and then I immediately felt safe. Just because I am the type of person who's like, as soon as I walk through the hospital door, I know that there are medical professionals who can take care of me, so I felt a lot better and safer. So as soon as I got in, they told me to rest for 5 minutes, and then they took my blood pressure. It had dropped to like 130/90, which they were like, oh, that's great, which in reality it's not great, but it's like, okay, it's acceptable, like you're not on the emergency scale anymore. Ivy looked okay. They didn't do an ultrasound, they didn't do a cervical exam, and they just kind of did the stress test, and she looked fine. So that was a little bit concerning to me that they didn't do like a cervical exam to see if I was, because at this point I was one day short of 38 weeks and I wasn't being like assessed, so that was a little bit concerning to me. So we left the hospital and we started to go home, and the order was just pretty much like try to rest. And I finally get a call from my doctor, and I was like, oh, I already went to the emergency room and they checked on me and I'm fine. And she was like, okay. And then that was pretty much it. And I was like, okay, great. So I started to feel very not at peace anymore. I was feeling really like concerned because I had learned that I had a placental insufficiency, which is like a 0.03 chance of getting. Once I realized like, okay, I'm starting to have complications, my doctor's not really taking care of me the way that I would like to be taken care of, and all of that, I was starting to feel a lot more like unrested. We come home and my blood pressure kind of stayed at around 135/92, just like a little bit high. The next day, nothing eventful happened. I just kind of like lounged around the couch. I actually was nesting like crazy. I don't know, my body just knew that I was gonna have the baby soon. So I was nesting like a mad woman until like 2 a.m. every single night, which probably didn't help my case, but I just couldn't stop. I nesting is very real and you cannot control it. So then Tuesday night comes around and I get another massive headache. So immediately I knew that my blood pressure was high. I grabbed like the blood pressure kit, I slap it on my arm. I was home alone because Andre went to go get some groceries from town, and I take my blood pressure and it was at like 149 over 99 again, which is when I went to the hospital last time. So I immediately start freaking out because Andre was in the town, which is like 25 minutes away from our house, and my mom was at her home. So I called Andre and I told him like, hey, my blood pressure is really high, my head's hurting, and I'm kind of like scared because I'm all alone. So I propped my feet up, he rushed home, and then I called my mom who lives pretty close by, and I told her to come over and just be with me because I needed some support. So I propped my feet up, I tried to calm down, my blood pressure was not going down. And my mom said, hey, why don't you just go to the Pelican emergency room and just get assessed, get a second opinion, see what the other doctors would say to you. In the meantime, I tried to contact my original doctor again, and she wasn't answering the phone. So Andre and I decided, okay, we're gonna go and try out this other hospital and see like what's going on. So in the meantime, my doctor finally called back. My mom said, just ask her if you still have like a chance to have a natural birth or if it's looking like a C-section. So I asked her like, hey, what are my chances of giving birth naturally, having such high blood pressure and having like a failing placenta? And she said, well, I just want you to mentally prepare that the chances are most likely that we are going to do a C-section. Now this was Tuesday. As soon as she hung up the phone, I had a massive breakdown and I was just terrified because having a C-section was like basically my worst nightmare. Even though from the beginning of my pregnancy, I always said, you know, I'm open to having a C-section or a natural birth because I just want me and my baby to be safe. Like, I don't really care about anything else. But when they tell you, okay, you are going to have a C-section, it can really mess with you. So I had a massive breakdown. I pretty much ugly cried for about 10 minutes, and Andre and my mom were trying to calm me down, and nothing was really working. So we said, let's just go get a second opinion and see what some other doctors at this hospital say, if they say the same thing. So I went into the Pelican, and it was like 9 or 10 p.m., so no doctors were really there. It was just whoever was on call for the emergency night shift. And it happened to be Dr. Ramos Anton, who ended up being the best doctor for me. I couldn't be happier with my choice, and I will do a review of the Pelican Hospital, but I 100% recommend him as a doctor. I feel like he saved me and my daughter's life, and I am very grateful and very happy with my experience there. But I went in and I was assessed. I got a cervical exam, I got an ultrasound, they checked on the baby, and I just felt very safe. Like, I hadn't had any peace before with my other doctor. I was always a little bit like on edge. As soon as I went into the emergency room at the Pelican, I just felt like so good and so, I don't know, taken care of and safe. And I got a cervical exam. I was not dilated at all, and I was 38 weeks pregnant. So I had like literally not even half a centimeter dilated. So there was pretty much no chance of a natural birth. And then he checked on Ivy and he checked on like my blood pressure. And I asked him, does it look like I have preeclampsia, or do you think that there's a chance that like it could develop into preeclampsia? And he was like, well, you actually already have preeclampsia, and it's looking like you're going to need a C-section. And then I tried to keep it together and I was like, okay, so I have preeclampsia, placental insufficiency, and now I have a second doctor's opinion and I need a C-section. And I said, are there any chances that I could do it naturally if you induce me? And he said, you know, if we induce you, you already have insanely high blood pressure and you're on blood pressure medication, which I forgot to mention. I was on blood pressure medication and I was on a blood thinner, I believe, and my blood pressure was still ridiculously high. He said, you know, with having such high blood pressure, it would be really dangerous for us to try to induce you because it could end up harming you and your baby. And I said, okay, well then, if that's not in the picture, when should I get a C-section? Like, how urgent is it? And he goes, well, today is Tuesday. I wouldn't let you be pregnant any further than Friday. Like, by Friday, she needs to come out. So that gave me literally 3 days to prepare. My myself. And I was like, awesome. So I got out, I told Andre the situation and everything. I told him, you know, babe, I felt really, really safe and taken care of. I don't know what it is about this doctor, but I just felt very safe. And I think I need to switch doctors, which is like literally 3 days before I was recommended to have surgery, to switch doctors, to switch hospitals. It was a pretty stressful time too, and it was like a lot going on at one time. And my other doctor said that I shouldn't come in to be checked on until Thursday, whereas this doctor said, hey, by Friday, you need to have this baby out, like maximum by Friday. So again, I didn't feel safe with this other doctor at all. So Wednesday morning comes around and I'm like, okay, I need to go to Pelican Hospital and tell this doctor that I want him to be my surgeon and I want him to help me deliver this baby. So I go to the Pelican Hospital. He wasn't working that day. So then I started doing some sleuthing on the internet and I found out that he had like a private clinic that I could go to, but I had no idea if he would be working that day, and I just kind of took my chances with it. And I went to the clinic inside and I said, is there any chance that Dr. Ramos Anton works here? And the girls at the desk were so nice and they were like, yeah, he actually does, and he will be here at like 7 p.m. And I said, does he have any openings at all? And they were like, yeah, I think he can take you at around like 7:45. Is that okay? And I was like, that is perfect. Like, just schedule me in. And in the meantime, I get a call from my other doctor. And she calls me and she goes, hey, I actually decided that I would like to see you today at 4. And I was like, okay. But in my mind, I already knew that I wasn't going to be delivering with her anymore. So I went in, she checked on the baby, and she was like, okay, we need to actually deliver this baby. We could do it tomorrow morning. So it was Wednesday. She said, we can do it tomorrow morning or Friday. Your placenta is looking really bad, but it'll hold up for another 24 to 48 hours, and that's it. And so that was like, okay, confirmation. I have two different doctors who told me that I need a C-section by Friday. And now it was just up to me to decide like what hospital I was going to go to. So I said, thank you very much. I'll let you know my decision by tonight and I'll be in touch. So then Andre and I went to this other doctor's office. I said, I don't know if you remember me, but last night I came into the emergency room and you told me that I need to have an emergency C-section by Friday. And I was wondering if there's any way that you could operate on me and you could do my surgery. And at this point, I was like really nervous. They took my blood pressure in the waiting room and it was the highest it had ever been. I believe it was like 155 or 159 over like 110. It was ridiculous. He opens his calendar and he goes, okay, tomorrow I have 3-4 C-sections. All right, I could take you tomorrow, but let me check on my schedule for Friday. And he opens his schedule for Friday and he goes, ah, I've got 6 C-sections on Friday. And I don't know why, but that gave me so much peace just to hear like, okay, I'm not an anomaly. I'm not like some unique case where I need a C-section. It was like something that was routinely done for lots of women. And just the fact that there were like 10 people in the next 24 to 48 hours that were going to be operated on by him just made me feel very safe. And I was like, okay, obviously this is something that happens a lot. You know, one third of all pregnancies now end in a C-section. So it'll be okay. So he said, all right, let's schedule you for tomorrow morning. And I was just like, okay, tomorrow, yeah, I'm gonna have my first surgery in my entire life, my first hospital stay. I've never even really been to any emergency room for myself before, so I was pretty much like, this is all new for me. So I was like, okay, awesome. So I walk out and Andre's like, what's going on? And I was like, I'm getting operated on tomorrow and I need to be admitted by 9 a.m. And at this point it was like 8:45 p.m. We go home and I tried to rest. I woke up every hour. I was like super anxious, but I remember literally telling myself, okay, so I'm getting a C-section either way. I can either cry about it and be really upset and ruin my birth experience, or I can be happy and just really positive about it and try to like hype myself up and tell myself that everything's gonna be okay, because either way I'm getting the C-section, so how am I going to perceive this situation in a way that like I'll appreciate my birth experience afterwards? So I chose to go with the latter, and I decided that okay, this is going to be my birth experience, nobody can take that away from me, and I'm gonna do this for me and my daughter to protect both of our bodies and to get us like through this healthy and safe. And so I tried my hardest to be positive and to just be okay. We prayed the night before, we prayed the day of, you know, we were just trying our best to keep positive and to just like not let stress and fear get the best of us. So we woke up at 6 a.m. We had to rush to go get a COVID PCR test, and that was also like a crazy experience in and of itself, because I needed to have my PCR test done by like 9 a.m. so I could be admitted into the hospital. And there are only a couple of places that do like PCR tests within an hour, so we had to go to an airport and we had to get the emergency PCR test done there. It took 3 hours and we went to the hospital. Then I had to get another COVID test, just like a rapid test, to be admitted into the hospital because my PCR test wouldn't be done for 3 hours. Anyway, they both came out negative, but in the meantime, while we were waiting for me to be admitted, MJ waited with me and we had such a good time. I just remember waking up in the morning, I watched the sunrise. It was such a beautiful day. We passed over the river, the sun was reflecting on the water. We listened to my now new favorite song that just always reminds me of my birth, and it reminds me of love and happiness. And it was just a really, really great morning. And we even, like, I think I was just in such shock and like I just didn't want to think about the C-section. I was just like, you know what, it's gonna happen, I'm not gonna think about everything that like goes into it. In a way, I knew I was getting a C-section, but I think I was like in massive denial or just in this state of incredible happiness and I don't know, maybe bravery and courage, because I was just like, you know what, it's gonna happen, so I've just gotta like be happy about it. I'm not gonna let myself be sad. So I just remember MJ and I were in the waiting room waiting to see my doctor, and we were laughing so much. Like, we tried to be respectful and we tried to be like quiet, but we could not stop laughing. Like, we just had such a good morning. And when he finally dropped me off after like 2 hours of getting COVID tests and like waiting in the waiting room, and he dropped me off, I remember like we gave each other a hug and said some final words, and I did not let myself cry, which is not like me because I'm a very emotional person, and I was just like, it's gonna be okay, I'm fine. And I left like super happy because I didn't want him to be stressed and go home and just be scared and like think, oh, what is Lena doing? Like, is she okay? Is she sad? I was like, you know what, I'm fine, this is great, it's routine, like lots of people get C-sections, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And that's what I kept telling myself, and I actually believed it, and I think that's really what helped me a lot. So anyway, I was admitted, and then I was waiting. I had to file out some paperwork, and then after like 30 minutes, a person came in and was like, all right, we're gonna go. And I was like, just without warning, we're just gonna go, like that's it? And he was like, yeah, we're gonna go. And I was like, oh, can I call my husband, please? And so I was in my gown, I was in the bed. He was like, yeah, just lay down and I'm gonna cover you up and then I'm gonna wheel you up into the OR. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna call my husband. So it was just such a weird experience, and to like know that you're about to go and meet your tiny little human. And unfortunately, Andre could not be with me because of COVID, and he could not come and meet me after or the baby until Sunday, and I gave birth on Thursday morning. So that was incredibly hard. And at the time, I didn't realize how hard it was until after I came home, because again, I was just kind of in this like survival, like I've got to be strong, I've got to like be strong for my daughter, for me, for my husband, like I've just got to be strong. And that was the only thing that like I kept telling myself, like you have to be strong. So I called Andre. Oh, and he wrote me a letter before, and the first opening phrase, he said, be brave, and those words just stuck with me throughout the whole surgery. I just kept looking at the ceiling and I was like, be brave, yeah, I can be brave. So just having an amazing support team will change everything. When you just feel loved and supported, there's nothing like it. Like, you can literally get through anything. I called MJ and we were talking on like a video call, and I was like, okay, well, I'm going into surgery. And I just remember we were both like so excited and we were looking at each other, but there was also like this, I'm a little scared, but let's not talk about it. And he again told me like, you're so brave, like you can do this. And I was like, yeah, I'm brave, I can do this. And soon we talked all the way up until I got into the operating like section. Then I was like, all right, babe, I've got to go. I'm going to go deliver our daughter. And then one of the doctors heard me and he was like, tell him it's going to be an hour and a half. So I told him, so we hung up, and then I still had some time to text him. And then the anesthesiologist came in and she was incredible. Like, I felt so safe. And again, like, I just felt loved, dude. I just felt like this crazy amount of love from the doctors, the staff, the nurses. Like, I just felt fully well protected. And they put in my IV, which was the most painful process of the entire C-section, which is crazy. Like, how can an IV hurt the most out of everything? So anyway, the anesthesiologist came in and she was trying to explain to me, but I was like in this delirious zone because I started to realize like, okay, I'm about to have a massive surgery and I hope I survive and I hope that everything's gonna be okay. And I just started to get a little bit nervous, and she was like, okay, well, when you have your C-section, you're going to feel two different things. So one is going to be when they open you up and they're gonna stretch open your skin, you're gonna feel a lot of pressure. It's not gonna be pain. You really need to be able to differentiate between pressure and pain. And then the second thing is going to be when they start pushing the baby out, they're going to lean on your rib cage and like push the baby. And I remember her saying that. And then she said, okay, we're going to also do like a spinal tap, and it's not going to hurt when we put it in, and you're going to feel like you're heating up and you get really heavy. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So they take me into the operating room and they sit me up on the table, lifted up my gown a little bit, and one of the nurses was in front of me and the anesthesiologist was behind me, and he was like, okay, lean forward and put your arms down. And I remember, I think he either held my head or my shoulder so that I wouldn't move, and they said, very important that you don't move, and we're going to stick a needle into your back right now. And I was like, okay, I kid you not, it did not hurt, not one bit. I just remember feeling like an interesting sensation. And I told MJ when I got out that it felt like they took a piece of string and they stuck it in my back. Like it genuinely did not hurt at all. I'm telling you, the worst part of the entire C-section was getting the IV put into my hand. So it was like the tiniest, tiniest bit of pain. Like, even the injections afterwards for like anti-blood clotting and everything, those hurt way worse than getting the spinal tap. So then I felt my legs like start to warm up and they started to tingle. It's exactly the same sensation that you get when you go to the dentist and like your mouth starts numbing, except for it's from like your tummy down. And they laid me down, and this was something that I was not expecting. They said, you're gonna lay your arms out like this and they're going to start working on you. And I was like, okay, I had no idea that it was gonna be like that. And the table was super small. It was like literally as wide as my body. But I remember one thing that did freak me out was there were like 10 or 15 people in the operating room, or maybe, I just can't remember. I just remember there was a lot of noise, a lot of talking, and then they put on my favorite music, which was awesome. So all of my favorite songs were playing while they were operating on me, so I felt like I could chill a little bit and just try to relax and focus on the music. And they were rubbing a cotton ball back and forth on my tummy. Then the anesthesiologist was like, okay, at first you're gonna feel that it's really cold. And it was really cold. And then they were like, okay, they kept rubbing back and forth on my abdomen. And then she said, how do you feel it now? And I was like, oh, it's still cold. And then a few seconds went by, I was like, oh, it's pretty warm. And then I was like, I don't really feel it anymore. And then I remember, I'm sorry if this makes you queasy, but I remember I felt two lines go across my tummy, and it felt like it was just going through different layers of my skin and my tissue, and I just knew that they had opened me up. And the anesthesiologist was like, all right, the operation has begun, and she rubbed my face the entire operation, and she talked to me, and I remember telling myself, I'm a pretty, like, I can get pretty queasy. And I remember telling myself, okay, you're not going to pass out. You're not going to have some sort of, like, convulsion here because you need to protect yourself and your daughter. Like, you're not going to pass out. So I decided instead to talk the entire operation. And I remember I made the nurses laugh. I made the anesthesiologist laugh. Like, I just couldn't stop talking. And when I look back on my C-section video, because they filmed it for NJ, like, I can hear myself in the background talking. But I remember feeling a lot during my operation, but it wasn't painful, and it was actually a beautiful experience. Like, I remember just being really happy that, like, I wasn't in pain. The shot in my back was not traumatic. The staff was so nice. And the anesthesiologist told me, okay, no matter what you're feeling, I just want you to tell me how you're feeling. And I was like, okay. So I would say, I know this is normal, but I feel like I can't really breathe very well. I think I'm a little anxious. Or I said, I think I'm starting to feel a little bit sick, or I'm a little hot, or I feel like I'm losing consciousness. I'm feeling a little woozy. And I just said everything that, like, came to mind. The only thing that was uncomfortable in the C-section was when they pushed on my rib cage to get the baby out. I remember that was actually, it wasn't like painful, but it was a bit scary because in my head, I felt like there were two full-grown men with their elbows. I felt like I was in some sort of fighting competition, you know, when like the wrestlers jump with their elbows on your rib cage. They had to push really hard to get Ivy out of my incision, and they just were pushing, and I remember I was like, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Like, they were pushing really incredibly hard to get her out, and the anesthesiologist was like, they're pushing her out right now, they're getting her out, like, it's okay, just keep breathing. And I remember I used the de-stressor breath, where you breathe in for like 6 seconds through your nose, and then you let out for as long as you can, but at least 2 seconds more. And I just remember doing a lot of breathing during the C-section so I could keep myself calm. The anesthesiologist kept massaging my face, and her hands were cold, and I remember I was sweating, and I told her, like, your hands feel really good on my face. Like, I did not want her to stop touching me because I felt very comforted. Like, I think one of my love languages is physical touch, so just being touched, it really calmed me down. And I remember after, like, they were pushing on me really hard, she said, oh, your baby's coming right now. And I was like, oh, really? Like, what color is her hair? And she was like, I don't know, I can't see it right now, but they're pulling her out right now. And I was like, okay. So then I started to get really emotional and excited, and then there was no cry. And I was like, why isn't she crying? And then I remember it was like the longest 2, 3, 4 seconds of my life. It felt like an eternity. Nobody answered me. It was really quiet. And then I said, why isn't she crying? And I said it again, and then I started crying a little bit, and then I started hearing Ivy cry, which was like the most amazing moment ever. Just like so much relief to know that my daughter came out safely. I'm like getting emotional just thinking about it. It was such a beautiful moment. I was so happy and relieved just to know, like, okay, it's over and she's safe and I'm safe and it's okay. So they weighed her and they like got her all wrapped up because it was super cold in the operating room. And then they wrapped her up like a tiny little like swaddled angel and they brought her over to me. And I remember they said, like, don't lift up your head for 6 hours after birth because you can get like spinal headaches, which I lifted my head before 6 hours had gone by and I got spinal headaches, which is awesome. They brought Ivy next to me, and I remember just like turning my head, and I couldn't see her because she was like right next to my face, and I really wanted to see her, and so I kept like turning my head and trying to see what she looked like. And as I remember in the operating room, a bunch of people were like, oh, she looks just like the mom, like they're twins and all of this stuff. And then I just remember them putting her on my face, and she was so soft and so warm, and she was not crying when she was next to my face. She was just like, it was just a very peaceful moment, but it was a beautiful moment and I'll never forget it. Like, seeing and feeling my daughter for the first time, it was incredible. And I remember, like, now every single time I hold her and I put her on my face, I just get that flashback of like her on my face for the first time. Unfortunately, I didn't get any chest to chest time. I didn't get get to immediately try to breastfeed her, which is something that like does make me a little sad. And then they took her out for the remainder of the C-section, which was like another 45 minutes, and they took her to the nursery. I just remember what song came on. Okay, Cold Little Heart. And that was the song that started playing, and I remember that it was like the mom TikTok song, and it was right after they took Ivy out. And I just remember looking up at the ceiling and being so thankful. I just kept crying and I was so happy. I was just smiling at the ceiling. And the anesthesiologist said, like, I hope that you two only have a life full of happiness and you only have like tears of joy. And that song was playing and then I was so happy. I was just like in another world. I was like beyond myself. I was just so happy. And I was so happy with my birth experience. Like nothing hurt. There was all that anxiety that led up to it was like not worth it because it didn't hurt. It felt great. I had amazing surgeons. My surgery looks amazing, which is just a bonus. And Ivy came out perfectly healthy and happy. And I ended up being perfectly happy and healthy. And I felt so empowered after birth. Like I had zero regrets. I was so happy. Like I just remember smiling the entire time. Like nothing compared to that moment. I was just beyond myself. So to me, not having a vaginal birth was not a big deal. Now that I have recovered from my C-section and I feel amazing, I do think a little bit about it, but there was no way to go around it, you know? It was a necessary, like, emergency C-section that needed to happen, and it was the best experience of my life. Like, there's nothing that compared to the moment of becoming a mom and just knowing that we were both safe and I was able to bring our tiny little human into the world. And I cry all the time, and I'm about to cry some more because I'm just so happy. If you are getting a C-section soon, just know that the C-section itself, if you have great surgeons, then it's going to be amazing. Like in my experience, it was everything. I was so happy, and I actually was low-key really happy that I didn't have to go through like the pains of a natural birth. Just going to be 100% honest, because I didn't experience contractions and I just went in. They did the surgery in an hour and a half and then it was over. The recovery was definitely, I like to call it a challenge because I want to remember it as like a positive experience, and it was something that I got to go through. Like I look at it from a very grateful perspective, and so it definitely was a challenge, and I am going to make a video all about it. But yeah, so after the surgery, they wheeled me out. I called Andre. Oh, and right before my surgery, I saw that Andre had texted on our family group, and he said, so Lena just went into surgery and she was so brave and happy. And I was thinking about that. I was like, I'm so proud of myself for being able to just like give confidence to my family, confidence to myself, and just have such a empowering and happy birth experience. So after that, I called MJ and he was like, where's the baby? How are you? Are you okay? Like he was so proud of me. And then I told him everything that happened and I got wheeled up to my room, and then they brought Ivy to me and we did skin to skin and we spent time together, and then we fell asleep together because I was fully exhausted. Seeing Ivy for the first time and just like naming her and having her next to me in her little wheeling bed and seeing her like all bundled up, like I was massively in love with her. And I just remember like every hour my love for her got stronger, and then by the second day I remember just holding her and constantly, like I kid you not, like constantly crying over her and how much I loved her, like full on sobbing, just because like my motherly instincts kicked in. And that was something that I was concerned about during pregnancy. I was like, what if I don't have motherly instincts? But the moment that that baby came into my life, like there's nothing like it. The love that you have for your child is literally out of this world. It just like, it's crazy. Crazy. Now I have the love of my life who gave me the love of my life. I'm done. Complete, you know? It's definitely been the best experience ever, and we are the happiest that we have ever been. And you know, sometimes we're really tired because every two hours I'm feeding, but I'm massively in love and nothing could be better, and I am so happy to be a young mom. I even told MJ, I was like, if I found out that I loved being a mom so much, like, because our plan was to have babies like a little bit later in the future, like in our late 20s. And I remember just saying, like, if I found out how much I loved being a mom when I was like 27 and 28, I think I'd be so sad that I didn't have babies earlier. So that is my birth story. That is my birth experience. And I will be covering like what to expect after a C-section, and I'll do a whole series on C-sections postpartum and what it's like having a newborn. But I just wanted to share with you guys my awesome birth experience and give a huge thank you to the Pentagon Hospital for doing such an amazing job of taking care of me and my daughter. If you're about to give birth and you're about to have a C-section and your husband can't be with you, or you're going through this alone, just know that you can do it, you can get through it, and it's going to be okay. And it's really not as bad as you think it might be. So I hope this video was encouraging to you. I hope that it was helpful and it gave you some peace before you go through the biggest and most special moment of your life. And I hope that your birth goes well. And I'm so excited for you to experience the love that you get when you become a mother for your child. So that's about it. I hope you guys enjoyed this video. If you did, give it a big thumbs up because it really helps support my channel. And don't forget to subscribe so that you can be up to date with all of my future videos. If you want to follow my podcast, Beauty with Lane, I'll link the Instagram here, and I'll also link my normal Instagram here so you can stay up to date with daily updates. Thanks again for watching, and I will see you guys in my next video. Bye!